Jack Armstrong,
the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Look, if I were to step up to you tomorrow morning at school or on the street and ask you just what you wanted in a breakfast dish, you might give me any number of good answers. But I'm willing to bet that one of the first things you'd say to me would be, "Mr. McCormick, the most important thing about a breakfast dish is its flavor." You know what I'd say to that? Well, it would be something like this. "Look," I'd say, "I've got just the dish for you. It's a breakfast of champions. You see, this combination of Wheaties, milk, and fruit or fruit juice gives you two extra good flavors. First, you get all of the keen, malty flavor of those crisp, crackling Wheaties. And boy, it's the kind of flavor that really hits the spot every morning. But that isn't all. No, sir. Added to the extra good flavor of Wheaties, you get the fresh, satisfying flavor of the fruit you like best. Yes, a breakfast of champions really tops them all in the flavor department. Try it tomorrow morning and see if I'm not 100% right. Now, that's exactly what I'd tell you on the flavor question. But then, you might say you wanted a breakfast dish packed with a lot of good nourishment. Well, I'd sort of smile and hand you a package of Wheaties and say, "Well, you asked for champion nourishment, and there it is, all bundled up in that big orange and blue Wheaties package." Now, you may not know it, but Wheaties give you every bit of the well-known essential nourishment of choice whole wheat. And in addition to the good bodybuilding nourishment of Wheaties, a breakfast of champions gives you all of the important nourishment of milk and fruit. Yes, that's exactly what I tell you every time. If you ask me for a breakfast dish that furnishes you with plenty of keen, satisfying flavor and bodybuilding nourishment, make sure there's a good supply of Wheaties in the house. Then see to it that you have a big breakfast of champions waiting for you at the table every morning. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. An army truck is backing up to the schooner Spindrift, tied up at the dock at the town of Zamboanga in Mindanao. Uncle Jim and Michelle are on the Spindrift, preparing to load on the truck a heavy box containing some precious uranium-235, which they're going to leave for safekeeping with the army troops stationed at nearby Pettit Barracks. Jack and Billy and Betty have just turned in from the dock with the tall palm trees that line the waterfront. They've come back from the native marketplace, the Philippine town, and they have some important news for Uncle Jim. Listen.
"Look, Billy, we're just in time to help Uncle Jim load the box of uranium on the truck."
"Oh, he and Michelle won't need any help, Jack. They've got the foresail fag rigged up as a gin pole to swing the box over the side of the Spindrift."
"But that's a heavy box, Billy. Don't forget that it's lined with lead to protect everybody from the uranium-235.
"I'll bet he and Michelle will be glad to get some help. And Uncle Jim will be glad to get our news, too. It's the first real clue we've found concerning Professor Loring.
But it doesn't prove that Professor Loring is still alive, Jack. Gosh, he may have been killed by the Moros who were holding him prisoner."
"Yes, but it proves that he's actually been somewhere in Mindanao, Billy. And if we can find that old Moro peddler, we'll get some real news about him."
"Uncle Jim sees us now. Say, look how he's perspiring. He and Michelle have really been working with that box of uranium."
"Hello, Jack. You've come just in time. We certainly can use you and Billy."
"We're coming right aboard, Uncle Jim." "That's a whopping big truck the colonel sent down for the uranium.
He sent down a couple of soldiers with rifles, too, Jack. See? They're just getting out of the truck."
"Oh, I know who they are. They're an armed guard. Uncle Jim told Colonel Brewster how valuable that uranium was."
"That's right, Betty, he did. He told him that Chepetto and his gang were after it, too. Well, Chepetto will have a merry time trying to get it after it's locked away in that big vault. Here we are, Uncle Jim."
"Come on aboard, Jack. I need you and Billy to help hoist this box with the snatch block.
Watch this gangplank, Betty. It's pretty steep since the tide dropped."
"Oh, I'll watch it, Jack. I don't want to fall overboard and let a hungry shark take a bite out of me."
"Did you find out anything important at the marketplace, Jack?"
"You bet we did, Uncle Jim. But first, we had quite a time getting that native to..."
"Let's get this box loaded first, Billy. Then I'll hear what luck you had. It's all made fast. Jack, you and Billy take hold of this line with Michelle and me."
"Here you are, Billy. Grab a hold here."
"All set. Lay hold. Heave.
Gee, Willikins, I'd forgotten how heavy this box is. Why, it must be full of lead, Uncle Jim.
It's almost full, Billy. Remember all those lead plates we saw inside it, protecting that uranium?
Well, that gap is bending terribly, Uncle Jim. It looks as though it might break.
It won't break, Betty. It held before. We're almost high enough, Jack. Another foot more will do it. There we are. Now belay the line and we'll swing the box right over the truck.
I'll belay the line, Billy. There it is. Now take this guy line and swing the box out.
Oh, we didn't hoist it high enough to clear the truck.
Yes, we did, Billy. See? It's clearing by a good 3 inches. The soldiers have it now.
That's far enough. She's just over the truck. Release your line, Jack, and we'll lower it into the truck.
Hold on to it. There, she's free. Lower away.
Easy now. We don't want to knock the bottom out of the truck. There she is. All right, men. Throw the line off and take the box up to post headquarters. I'll be up there in a few minutes.
But those soldiers won't be able to unload that box by themselves, Uncle Jim.
I've arranged for a whole squad of soldiers to help put it in the vault, Betty.
Oh, boy, it certainly feels good to have that uranium in the care of the U.S. Army.
Yes, it takes a load off my shoulders, Jack. And now, tell me what you found out in the marketplace. Did you find the native who had the wristwatch?
We found him, all right. And what a time we had with him. He couldn't speak English,
and
so I tried...
to explain what he wanted by using his wristwatch, the native took it from him. He thought Jack wanted to swap it for some of his spies.
And then I tried to get Jack's watch back, but the man called for the police.
Wait a minute. This sounds like a riot act. You're telling me everything except what I want to know. Suppose I ask questions. In the first place, did you see the watch?
We saw it, Uncle Jim, and it's exactly like yours.
Good. Did you see the back of it?
We saw the back of it, too, after a chase and a fight. And it had Professor Loring's initials on it, W.L.
So it did have Professor Loring's initials on it. That means a great deal. Now for the most important question. Where did the native get the watch? Or couldn't you understand him?
Well, there was a soldier, a military policeman who helped us, Uncle Jim. This M.P. could speak the native dialect. The man told the M.P. that he'd gotten the watch from an old Moro peddler who passed through the town recently.
An old Moro peddler. I wonder if he was telling the truth.
The M.P. thought he was, Uncle Jim. He said an old Moro peddler had been in town only a day or so ago.
Where's this peddler now? We've got to get hold of him and find out where he got the watch.
The man said that the Moro peddler had gone up to Melita, Uncle Jim.
Melita? That's the village up in the hills. The one that Lieutenant Rawlings thinks is stirring up all this unrest among the tribes.
That's the one, Uncle Jim. And there's another queer thing about this native and the watch. He didn't want us to look at the back of it. He tried to run away, and then he tried to fight.
And so the military policeman took him to the Army headquarters to investigate him, Uncle Jim.
So he tried to run away. That's interesting. Very interesting.
It's interesting, all right, but jumping Jiminy, it's so scrambled. Doesn't make any sense to me.
It could make sense in one way, Billy. But it sounds so fantastic.
Whatever do you mean, Jack?
Just stop and think, Betty. We know that the Moro Sultan... What's his name? Baloa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We know that Sultan Baloa is trying to unite all the Moro tribes to fight against the government.
But, Jack, Sultan Baloa is way down south and in the interior of Mindanao.
I know, Billy. And that's where we think Professor Loring is held prisoner, too. But Professor Loring's watch appears here, brought by a Moro peddler. And the peddler is now up in the hills at Melita.
I follow you exactly, Jack. And on top of that, Lieutenant Rawlings thinks that someone in Melita is stirring up the present unrest among the tribes.
Sure, it all ties together. Don't you see, Billy?
Wow, my head is getting dizzy. But go on, Sherlock Holmes.
Well, what else do we know? Oh, yes, somebody's been trying to steal rifles and ammunition from the army at Pettit Barracks. That means that somebody in Zamboanga must have a hand in it. And here's this native with Professor Loring's watch who didn't want us to see the initials on the back of it.
Oh, but maybe that's just because he knew the watch was stolen, Jack.
Maybe, Betty. And maybe it's because he knew it came from that Sultan Baloa. If Baloa's back of all this, that watch would link the Moro peddler with it, too.
I see it now, Jack. It'd prove that the peddler was the agent who was stirring up all this trouble.
Well, it wouldn't prove anything, Billy. Maybe I'm letting my imagination run away with me. But it's worth thinking about.
It certainly is worth thinking about, Jack. But we know one thing for sure.
What's that, Uncle Jim?
We know that this old Moro peddler probably knows something about Professor Loring. So we've got to follow him up to Melita and find out what we can from him.
Didn't I tell you, Billy? Didn't I tell you we'd be going up to Melita?
Jiminy crickets. Now we'll probably get all mixed up with those tribes.
Perhaps we can get some valuable information for the army, Billy. Now look sharp, everyone. I'm going up to Pettit Barracks to see that the uranium gets safely put away. I'm also going to tell Colonel Brewster about this affair of the wristwatch. I want you to start packing our hiking equipment. You've got a list of what we need, Jack. Get the stuff out and check it over. We're going after that Moro peddler right away.
But, Uncle Jim, we can't carry all that stuff on our backs.
I'm going to borrow a pack horse from Colonel Brewster, Billy. The pack horse can carry the tent and the cooking equipment and the heavy stuff. We can carry the rest on our strap pack. Oh, hello. Look who's coming down to see us. Lieutenant Rawlings.
Maybe he's been questioning the man who had the wristwatch, Uncle Jim. Maybe he's got some dope for us.
Hello, Rawlings.
Hello there.
Come right on board.
Thanks, Captain Fairfield. I've got something you might find useful.
Watch that gangplank. It's slippery.
Yeah.
Say, Jack, what do you suppose he has for us?
Search me, Billy. Maybe it's just some information.
How do you like our schooner, Rawlings?
She's a sweet ship, Captain Fairfield. But I wouldn't have the nerve to take her through a typhoon the way you did. Are you still determined to go into the interior to look for Professor Loring?
We certainly are, Rawlings. But first, we're going up to Mulita to look for an old Moro peddler who's up there.
Yeah, I thought you might be doing that after I questioned the native who had Professor Loring's watch. Anyway, if you get very far into the interior of Mindanao, you stand a swell chance of getting lost. So I thought you might like to have a pedometer with you. Like this one I use on hikes.
A pedometer? You mean that instrument you use to tell how far you walk?
That's the one. You'll find it very useful. You'll always know exactly how far you've walked at the end of an hour or a day.
Oh, that's fine.
I just imagine that, Betty. You just fasten it to your belt and then forget about it until you want to know how far you've walked.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Just like a speedometer on an automobile.
Not quite, Betty. It tells how far you've walked, not how fast.
And the distance we walk is the important thing anyway. We certainly can use that, Rawlings. May save us lots of grief.
Jack, how long is your step?
It's just about 30 inches, Lieutenant Rawlings.
That's fine. There are dial ratings here for different lengths of step. Here's the little window for 30 inches. You set it at zero at the beginning of a hike, and from that time on, it'll tell you just how far you've gone.
But how does it work? Oh, it just seems too marvelous. Do you have to wind it up?
No, I should say not. It ticks away by itself as you walk.
Well, we're certainly obliged to you, Lieutenant Rawlings. We're just beginning to pack up our hiking equipment for the trip now.
Well, put this on your belt where it'll be safe. Captain Fairfield, if you can come ashore for a few moments, we'd like to show you where we're putting the uranium.
I was just going ashore, Rawlings. I'll be back soon, Jack.
We'll be getting the equipment ready, Uncle Jim.
Jack, let's go ashore as soon as we get the hiking equipment packed and try out the pedometer.
That's a great idea, Billy. But right now, we've got a lot to do. Say, look at that Vina over there.
Oh, which one, Jack? I see lots of Venus along the waterfront. Do you mean the one with the big red and blue square sail?
No, I mean the one that's sailing out from the Filipino schooner you see at anchor over there.
Oh, I see the Vina, Jack. The one with two men in her. She's coming this way.
But what's so odd about her, Jack? She looks like those other Venus to me. Long and narrow, bamboo outriggers, square sails, and probably as fast as lightning.
She's got a white sail on her. All the other Venus around here have colored sails. Don't you remember?
Oh, sure I remember, Jack. When we were down in Cotabango, the only Vina with a white sail belonged to that good-for-nothing Yates who tried to steal the Dragon's Eye ring.
Oh, but that was way south of here, Jack.
Yes, but he could have sailed up here in that Filipino schooner, Betty. I'll take a look. Hand me the binoculars, Billy. They're hanging up in the cabin just inside the companion
hatch. I'll get them, Jack. Oh, wait, the strap is wrapped around the hook, Jack. Yeah, here they are.
I'll take a look at the Vina just on the chance.
What is it, Jack? What do you see?
Yates is in that Vina, and he's coming here. I wonder what that can mean.
Well, what can that mean? Yates certainly has his nerve coming over to the Spindrift after all he did down in Cotabango. Say, what's he doing up in this part of Mindanao anyway? You don't suppose he could have any connection with... Now, wait a minute. Now I'm letting my imagination run away with me. But you can be sure of one thing. Yates isn't visiting the Spindrift just for a cup of tea. So, listen in, all of you, at this same time tomorrow to another thrilling episode in the Zamboanga Adventure with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how.